Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Rob DeWalt, speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome back to the show the fabulous Bill Hutchison. He is here for Animal Friday. He is back from San Francisco, where we thought we might have lost him to forever, and he's back. Welcome.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. When you started with fabulous, I thought you were going to introduce somebody else, but then my name followed that. That was
exciting. You are the fabulous. You've been doing Animal Friday for a couple of years now, and you moved to you had the audacity to move to San Francisco.
Shocking, I know. I got a letter from the city fathers saying, once you get here, you can never leave.
So but you did. You
I've
came
made
back.
A deal with our shelter, with whom I've been involved since the day I left, to come back every other week and help out and do what I can. And frankly, it's been lovely to be back. This is a fine town in so many ways, and it's fabulous to go between one fine SF to another fine
yes,
SF.
Yes, the SFs together.
But I don't think I'm going to go to Sioux Falls. That's not an SF I'm interested in.
Excellent point. Now, what's the, I mean, we don't have to talk about this too much because this is a New Mexico program, but what's the animal welfare situation like in San Francisco?
It's a really spectacular city. I mean, much like Santa Fe, it's got a and pardon the Santa Fe parlance, I haven't yet quite shaken it out of my bones, but it's got definitely a higher consciousness in regard to animals and the animals that live in the city. The shelters there, the programs available to those who are in need are really spectacular, and it's been wonderful to see. I walk the dog, since I work out of the house, I walk the dog every day at lunch, and it's amazing to see how many other people are just out having a little stroll with their dog, and it's a fascinating, truly multicultural experience, because you've got folks of virtually every ethnicity that I've ever been aware of out walking their dogs, ranging from the tiny little cute dog to the strange slobbering behemoth and every size in between. And every so often, I swear to you it's true, I'll see somebody walking their cat.
No.
Truly.
On a leash
with a little harness, and I'll tell you, these cats look very, very happy to be out.
Really?
Yes. In fact, down my street a bit, there's a chow who they leave the window open for him all day long, and he just sort of leans out there like a cowboy at a bar and looks at the world going by and barks and whines at the people he likes and barks and doesn't whine at the people he doesn't and just watches the world go by. There's a Chinese man in the house next door who does much the same thing, and it is fascinating to see the two of them together and realize that our interests are often not so far apart.
Multicultural, multi-species harmony.
Multicultural, multi-species harmony. Yeah, it's been lovely. I like it there very much.
So what's going on at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter?
Late last year, we started something new, which has been a rousing success. Along with Obama's health plan, you can call this the Santa Fe Animal Shelter's health plan. We opened our LVC, our limited veterinary clinic. And this is a clinic that we wanted to do separately from our spay-neuter clinic, realizing that there were a lot of people in our community who simply didn't have access to veterinary care that they could afford. We have a lot of spectacular vets in this community, and they do a lot for the animals and for the shelter. But they also have to run a business and have to make a profit and pay people and keep their building with electricity and water running, etc. So recognizing that this was breaking families up, that there were people who were having to surrender their animals to the shelter because they couldn't afford care if, say, the animal got a wound or something happened to it. This was something we could do to follow our mission of keeping families whole, of keeping relationships intact. So we opened this up, and we do limited services there. It's not a full-service clinic by any stretch, but we make them much, much, much more affordable. They're very subsidized prices. Even with that, however, there are people who love the animals that are in their lives deeply, and even a low fee is more than they can afford to pay when it comes down to paying for food or the animal care, for the vet care for the animal. Sometimes it's a hard decision, and we want to alleviate the need to make that decision. I know we have a lot of loyal listeners who will say, well, the choice is obvious. You don't buy the food. But what if we could live in a community where you didn't have to make that decision between food and veterinary care? So we have two funds that we've just started. One is called Tuna's Fund, and that's for dogs. And this was $6,000 given to us by an anonymous donor on the condition that we find 6,000 matching dollars, which is part of my sneaky plot on the radio today to ask our listeners to think about ponying up a little bit of that so we can access that money for people who really just simply can't afford necessary care to keep their animal alive.
If our 6,000 listeners right now each gave $1,
we'd be done.
We'd be done.
We'd have $12,000
in the bank. Sounds like the KSFR fund drive.
It does. It absolutely does. Hopefully we could be as successful as KSFR is with this. Because these animals, you know, I hear people say sometimes that if you can't afford to have an animal, you shouldn't have an animal. And I frankly, I don't want to sit in judgment of people who love their cats or dogs and don't make a lot of money, especially in these hard economic times. I don't know what people's stories are, and I don't feel like it's mine to ask. What our jobs are is if there's a relationship that we can maintain, if there's a bond between two creatures that we can keep whole, then I think we have an obligation to do that.
Well, and I think it's particularly problematic with dogs. Cats, if you leave them alone, they'll just eat all the mice in the neighborhood.
They do. They absolutely do. Or all the mice in your house, as I've learned in San Francisco.
Do you have a mouse-eating cat in your mouse-ridden apartment?
Do you want me to tell you a terrible story?
Yes.
In my house, when I got back from Christmas vacation, I discovered that my cat, who had stayed home with a cat sitter, had mortally wounded a mouse who had then escaped under the refrigerator and perished.
Oh.
Now, that creates a stench that I cannot and will not explain on the
radio. I know that stench, yes.
And I'll tell you also from experience, it takes about 2 to 3 weeks to dissipate. So there have been some very quick...
Even when you get rid of the mouse?
If you can't find the mouse, it's troublesome.
Ah.
So we've had some very quick dinner makings in the kitchen and then running into another less smelly room to eat it.
The key is to find the mouse.
It is. I had the refrigerator in the middle of the kitchen and was pouring through every crack and crevice and still could not locate the little bugger. So I fear he was dispatched in a small and hidden place.
Yeah, that does happen. And it's one of those moments. I mean, we're very soon, the question of cats versus dogs, which is better, is going to rear its beautiful head again. And there is only one way that I can think of in which cats are better. And that is they will eat the mice. Whereas I have actually been sitting... in my living room, which is right next to the kitchen, they're not really disconnected. There's just an open space between them. Watched a mouse run across the floor and had all three of my dogs on the couch just looking around.
Watching as though it were a television program.
Watching as though it was a television program.
The rodent Kentucky Derby.
Well, that's not faster than I am, and I don't think I'm not that hungry.
I do like that cats will catch the mice. I'm occasionally troubled at the sadistic streak that they all seem to have about the maim and torture before them. Speaking of art, I can't find a good way to make
this
transition.
Where are we going?
Now.
Go ahead.
The other fund we have is a memorial fund. We had for several years a volunteer named Jamie Gonzalez, who many in our community will know. There was a story about him in the paper. He passed away recently. He was one of our most astonishing cat volunteers that I've ever met. He was a developmentally disabled man, and he could go into a room with a cat who really you could barely socialize with, and ever so slowly and gently draw that cat out of its shell. And I've never seen anybody work magic on cats like Jamie did. And Jamie passed away just before Christmas, and so for the cats who are in need of medical attention and folks simply can't afford it, the Jamie Gonzalez Memorial Fund is one that we're starting to honor Jamie and to help the kind of cats that Jamie, I think, really, really cared about. He was an amazing man.
There's a funny thing where things that are considered disabilities sometimes become, in certain contexts, super abilities.
Without a doubt. I think that everything that made Jamie up went toward his ability to bring cats into the world in a way that didn't seem quite as terrifying to them as it did before they met him. Calling him developmentally disabled, it doesn't begin to really express the talent, the sheer talent, almost without even having to think about it, that he had with these animals.
Very
and
interesting.
It was stunning to watch. And when we learned of his passing, it was a very sad day for all of us. I think our cats were the ones that that mourn the deepest because they truly lost a friend in that moment. So with these two funds, I personally, and then we at the shelter in general believe that not having adequate access to health care for your animals should not be a barrier to that relationship. And these funds, I think, with the support of our community, can really make it possible for these animals to stay in their homes and to be with the people they love and who love them and not have to fracture that relationship.
You know, it's interesting that you compare it to national healthcare legislation. There is something that happens in my life, which is that somebody will come to me and say, I've got a problem, my dog is sick, and I will pay for the dog's veterinary care on my own credit card, and then they will, you know, do some work for me, or we'll do an exchange, or
Absolutely. We'll
figure some way to pay it back that doesn't involve money, because I had some neighbors who couldn't afford the care for their animal, and that puts all the burden on me. And when you do it this way, everybody can contribute a little to other neighbors
without
that,
neighbors they don't necessarily know. Met yet,
yeah.
Without a doubt. By making it an income qualified program, you know, we can ensure that it's the people who need this service the most that are actually reaching it. But as you say, it really isn't a matter of, you know, when I say we have $6,000 and we need $6,000 more for a matching grant, that sounds kind of terrifying, but really, if everybody who listens today pitches in a buck or two, then you know that the kind guy across the way who lost his job, his contracting job, and has a dog that goes everywhere with him in his pickup truck, or that sweet old lady who has had this cat forever and she's now on Medicare and Social Security, that these animals who really are their daily family are going to be able to get the help they need if they run into a situation where they need it.
Exactly.
We had a cat come into our LVC clinic. This is really what started the whole thing. We had a cat come into our LVC clinic brought in by a man who clearly, desperately loved this cat and wanted the best for it. And this cat had an ailment, and when we told him the price at our low-cost veterinary clinic, he could not cover that cost. As low as it was, and I'll tell you, it was very low, he could not cover that cost, and he was devastated. He was really devastated about not being able to access the health care. So, of course, we took the cat in and we nursed it back to health and we got it back into the family. But that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
It really shouldn't be happening. If there's a way that we can keep these relationships intact, we need to do it. And, you know, I hear this little voice in my head of people who have come by the shelter from time to time, saying these hard things, like, well, you know, it's a hard world, and if you can't cover your costs, then you shouldn't have a pet.
Well,
and
people say that about
children.
They say,
absolutely,
if you can't afford to have children, don't have them. And on the one hand, there's a lot to be said for family planning. On the other hand, you will get yelled at for telling people that by, we won't go into politics right now.
Whether it's true or not, at the end of the day, what we see at the shelter are people walking in the door with a creature in need that they love. And regardless of who should do what or who shouldn't have done what, all I can say is that when you see an animal in need in the arms of someone who loves it, you meet that need. And that's just, it's really fairly simple for us.
You guys are very nice.
You know, that's a very nice thing to say. I like to imagine that we're kind. I think it's a little too easy to be nice sometimes. I think
it's too sweet and sugary.
It's a little too superficial. Like, neither you nor I are all that nice, but we're fairly kind people.
Hey, what are you trying to say?
You're kind is nice gone even deeper.
Okay.
It's constituent.
Well, you are kind at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter.
Well, thank you.
And considerate really of the community.
As much as I would like to take that compliment and put it in my pocket and say that's all for me, it's 50-odd people who work there. It's 150 volunteers. And in the case of these two funds, it's an anonymous donor who loves animals. It's named after Tuna, our anonymous donor's dog who passed away last year before last, who she loved very, very, very much. And naming it after that relationship seemed very appropriate. And it's thanks to people.
The animal was named Tuna?
It was a dog named Tuna, yes. Very sweet little dog who passed away
suddenly. You could get a fish and name it Dog.
And then you could get a cat and name it Kitty.
You could get a cat and name it Hamster.
No, that didn't work at all, did it?
Hey, you've got a ferret.
We do. We have two ferrets at the shelter right now, and I love these ferrets. I don't know, folks who have never had ferrets, they're easy to see as elongated rats, but I grew up with ferrets when I was a kid, and they are some of the most tender, loving creatures I've ever met in my life. We have two called Taffy and Charlie. Taffy's a female, Charlie's a male, and they are a hoot. I have never seen two more playful ferrets in my life. Taffy has this stuffed animal that she loves, and she will tote that thing around and wrestle with it like it's a bear and she's a crocodile. It's a spectacular thing to watch. And then she'll just cuddle right up into the nook of your elbow and nap out for a while.
What do they eat?
Mostly small children. They can catch caribou and buffalo. No, that's not true at all. You can get ferret-formulated food at any of our local pet food shops.
Ferret-formulated food.
Ferret-formulated food. And they love it.
Sweet. Are they carnivores? Are they omnivores?
They are. Their food is very similar to cat food.
Ah.
They need the meat in their diet. But they're very, very sweet. And strangely, here's a little factoid for you, Santa Fe. They're excellent centipede hunters. It may be because they are related to the mongoose, the snake killer. But we had, where I grew up in central New Mexico, we had a lot of centipedes.
Have a lot of Manil Dorado, too.
Our ferrets would run around at night, and every so often you would wake up in the morning and find one that had been neatly dispatched by the ferret in the night, and the ferret had gone away completely unmarked by the battle. It was really amazing.
You mean you'd... What?
They'd chomp it right in the head.
They chomp it right in the head. So they actually leave the body for you to find?
Yes.
They don't eat it?
No, they did not eat it. Nor, frankly, did they tidy it up, no matter how many tiny little brooms and dustpans I left around to give them the hint. But they were wonderful, wonderful companions for us when we were kids. And anybody who is interested in learning more about them, if you've had a ferret, hopefully you know a bit about it. But they are...
So they're good with children. They won't eat your kids.
They will not eat your kids. Unless you have very small kids that look like centipedes, I suppose. But then you have other issues to face beyond having a ferret.
That's right. Like the interspecies relationship you're in.
That's right.
We're talking to Bill Hutchison. What dogs and cats do you have available?
We had, something else I wanted to mention. This is back to your very kind words about the shelter being kind people. It's really this community. You know, the shelter is not separate from the citizens of this city. And we have, it's thanks to the support of the community across the board that has made some of the things that we can do possible. We have an elementary school, Santo Nino Elementary, that has sponsored the adoption fees for four dogs at the shelter. These kids raised money and worked really fairly tirelessly to raise the money for four difficult-to-adopt dogs to make them perhaps a little bit more appealing to folks who might want to come in and get them. Two of these dogs have already been adopted thanks to the Santo Nino Elementary kids adoption fees. And we still have two more who I hope folks will come in and meet, Daisy and Misty. Daisy is, here's a picture of Daisy. What do you think she is?
I am looking at Bill Hutchison's computer screen, and I seem to have made it go away. I think it's
a dachshund,
it's a
corgi, chihuahua, pug,
yes,
lab.
Yes, a dachshund, corgi, chihuahua, pug. That's right. That's
and then
the thing is. It's very, very cute. It has a little star on its forehead.
She's a doll. And then Misty is sort of the, Daisy's golden colored, and Misty is mostly black, and she's whatever the black version of that muddy kind of mix really is. But these dogs, their adoption fees are already paid for. So all you have to do is come in and meet them and see if you think that they will be a good addition to your family. And they're ready to go. And again,
Do you have to show proof of need?
You have to show proof of wanting these dogs to be part of your family.
Oh, okay.
All the kids wanted was for them to make it easy for anybody to bring them into their home.
Why were they hard to adopt? Because they were funny looking?
All of our dogs, for better or worse, are kind of funny looking. I think that the two big dogs that they sponsored were having some struggles because it's harder for large dogs to find homes.
Yeah.
But Misty, Daisy's a bit older, and they're really sweet dogs. And there is a family for them who will just simply be able to spring for an even cushionier bed instead of the adoption fee. And that, like everything I got to come on the radio today and talk to you about, the LVC Fund, our matching grants, these dogs who had their adoption fees sponsored, this is because we live in a town that loves animals, and thank goodness we do. I'm glad that I can be back in it here and there.
Yes, indeed. Bill Hutcherson is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, which you can find on the web by Googling Santa Fe Animal Shelter, and their phone number is
983-4309. And Mary Charlotte, since it's the first time we've been on the air, let me thank you for an amazing 2000 in the new year. Let me thank you for an amazing 2010 on behalf of the shelter. You and KSFR have been so incredibly good to us, and we hope this begins yet another lovely year working together.
Yes, and I also want to mention our new friend, Ben Swan.
Our very dear friend, Ben Swan, who is even more beloved and famous in this community than I. He has been, he's done some of the radio spots, and I have been listening from afar.
Have you?
Adoring your interaction.
Yeah,
together.
He's doing Animal Friday now. During the legislative session, we've kind of switched our legislative update around, and we're going to devote Fridays to Linda Siegel. In the legislative update, we're going to have longer segments on Fridays during the session, and so that's
Animal Friday has always been a flexible day. Animal Friday's on a Wednesday.
That's so very true. So we will have you back because you're going to be back every other week. We're going to have Ben Swan back, who is our maybe we'll have you both.
We would love to come on together.
Our two Animal Friday guys.
He is my dear animal chum.
Yes. So Bill Hutcherson, thank you for being with us, and ladies and gentlemen, go out and adopt those animals and know that there is help. You're doing wonderful work.
Pitch
thanks.
A few bucks toward that fund. Mary
Pitch
Charlotte,
a few
thank
bucks
you so much.
Toward that fund. Excellent. We're going to take a little break right now to hear from our underwriters, and Rob DeWalt is on deck. Please stay tuned. And I'd like to welcome now Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning. Hey, I have to show you guys this picture.
You can't show pictures on the radio.
Are you kidding? I love
pictures on
the radio.
But you'll melt and they'll get it. This is the new member of the family.
It's a dog. They have a new dog. It's a boxer. It has a big black face and a big white chest.
He's on loan. We're not sure if he's ours to keep.
He looks like he's got a heart made of pure chocolate syrup.
Pretty much. Yeah. He's it's interesting. He sleeps in a kennel in our room, and the other two dogs sleep on beds. We have no room in our room.
There's a hierarchy going on.
Yeah. Well, the dogs own the house. That's
when
pretty much
when you're guess. In the kennel, it may be time to reevaluate. At least have him get a job at that point.
No, I know. You know, I mean, he's good at barking, so.
If they own the house, what happens when the furnace blows? Do they fix it?
They contract us out to deal with that.
That's
right.
Brilliant.
We work pretty cheap.
That's good. And I suppose they expect you to provide your own tools.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, the rewards are great, so. We give them a pass.
Life's tough when you don't have gums.
Yeah.
So listen, what's happening this weekend?
Too much is happening this weekend.
Too much to say.
There's a dearth of art openings, although I'm sure there are many. We've only heard of a few. I'll just rattle off a couple. The Mobile Gallery, Axel Contemporary, is opening Blue Air, a light-based installation by John Davis. And it's a step van, and it's going to be in the Rail Yard Plaza through February 10th. There's a reception there from 5 to 7 tonight, so if you can track the truck down, it's easy to spot.
It looks like
a big toaster.
That's great.
A big, big toaster on wheels that's big enough to hold art.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I love more than big toast.
I know. It's my favorite. Getting the butter on is a pain, but... speaking of toast, Eggman and
you
Walrus.
Need a giant butter sprayer.
Don't get me started on that.
Okay, I won't.
I can't believe it's not butter. Eggman and Walrus Art Emporium is having a show called, this is great, You're Ruining My Ambiance, Ode to a Santa Fe Art Dealer.
Wow.
Have you heard about this?
That's a wonderful title.
Have you heard about this, this gallery? There was a big hullabaloo in the paper a little while back. The owner of the gallery had hired an artist to paint a mural downtown on these two doors that hold trash receptacles, and didn't get permission from anybody to do it, apparently. And there were nearby gallery owners, names are not going to be said, that decided that it was sort of encroaching on their ambiance and taking away from the sort of Santa Fe style. So this is his response. It's a three-person show, and it's called You're Ruining My Ambiance, Ode to a Santa Fe Art Dealer. So he's reaching out across the aisle, as it were.
And I love that that's happening here. I love these sort of moments that are particular to one spectacular town and one moment in time that captures it with absolute grace and aplomb.
Exactly. And I'm sure that they happen in San Francisco a lot, but we don't hear from about it as much here. But there's a story in today's PASA on page 34. There's a reception for the show tonight at 5:30, and that show is up until February 5th. Also, Eli Levin Studio on Canyon Road, How's It Hangin' is the name of the show. That's open to interpretation. Paintings by Scott Shuker, reception 4 to 7 p.m. tonight, and that's up through January 27th.
Excellent.
And finally, there's a great show opening at the Museum of Contemporary Native Arts called Soul Sister, reimagining, now if I pronounce this wrong, please forgive me, Kateri Tekakwitha.
Kateri.
Well, it's Kateri, well, you're supposed to say Kateri. All right. It rhymes with battery, but I've heard it so many different ways talking to so many different people.
Well, I interviewed the lady who wrote a book on it, and she called it Kateri.
What, the Lily of the Thorns? Or
the children's book.
Oh, the children's book.
The key is to mumble it quickly and confidently
right.
So that people think you got it right.
What I was,
you've got a lot of
what I was
going to
do
that.
Is...
I do.
My whole plan was to come in here today and just point at the listing and make Mary Charlotte say it wrong.
That's
so that I didn't have to own up to it. So I apologize
for... Well,
that's awfully nice of you.
For... totally mangling this poor woman's name. But there's a great show.
Yeah, but luckily she was a Native American saint, so she doesn't care.
Not
that
a saint.
Much.
Not yet.
Oh, that's right. But a saintly person who is being considered for canonization.
They're awaiting one verified miracle to make her a saint. And it's interesting that the story comes out today, written by me, by the way. But I just heard on the news this morning that Pope John Paul II is one step away from sainthood as well.
Wow.
They just announced that this morning, I think.
Maybe her miracle will be forgiving you for mispronouncing her name.
Well, he's the one that basically blessed her postmortem, I don't know, in 1980. It's an interesting show. There's four or five other shows going up at the Museum of Contemporary Native Arts. There are receptions for all of them tonight from 5:30 to 7 p.m. And there's a story on page 28 in PASA Tiempo. And I spoke
excellent.
To America Meredith for the story, and I also spoke to an artist from a place up in Ontario where this woman lived for a while before her death. She died young. She died when she was 24 years old.
Oh, wow.
Back in the 1600s. So I don't know. But that's all of the openings that I know about, except for La Tienda at El Dorado on Saturday is having a group show of plein air paintings, the reception from 4 to 7 on Saturday, and that's up through February 12th.
I've only been gone for a couple of months, and Santa Fe has gotten even cooler than it was before I left.
Yeah.
That's hard to imagine.
Well, it gets cooler when you come back.
Because it lost its coolness when you left.
That's absolutely not true. It that may have had something to do with how it got cooler. Is a significant percentage of its dorkiness was exported
to
the West Coast.
Nerds unite. That's all I'm saying.
Nerds,
we got to stick
nerds
together.
Nerds are good.
We got to stick together.
Spoken by three nerds sitting at a table in the
that's
Santa Fe
right.
Baking
absolutely.
Company. Now, Monday is Martin Luther King Day, ladies and gentlemen, and I will be interviewing the author of a book called Nobody Turned Me Around, A People's History of the 1963 March on Washington. And that was a very interesting book. And, of course, we're going to hear a few Martin Luther King speeches probably here and there during the week as well. And then there is some stuff going on at the Roundhouse. The Santa Fe branch of the NAACP will conduct its annual birthday observance of the King Day holiday from 12 noon until 1. And the New Mexico State Capitol Rotunda, it will begin with a traditional African call to drums with Agalu and Akim Ayanihi. And... all sorts of other good things. The keynote will be Ms. Kimberly Ross Toledo, who is a nationally recognized leader in intercultural diversity. So for more information, you can just try to call the NAACP. Let's see, the number here, is, you know, it would be good if I could read.
It's
the number here is 471-6798.
What else is going on? Well, the legislature is about to start, so there's all kinds of stuff happening in and around the Roundhouse, including armed robberies, but that's another story.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What
did
happened?
You see the paper yesterday?
Two ladies were eating at a local restaurant, to remain nameless, and they were walking back to one of the women's cars, and a guy asked, what time is it? And then they told him what time it was. They didn't tell him the real time. But then they got into their car, and he pulled a gun on him, put a gun to her head, put him in the car, and took their keys, locked them in the car, and took off.
I can't remember exactly what the Journal North headline was, and I'm sorry to mention the other paper, but it that's what caught my eye. It said something like, give me your money or I'll shoot you.
Yeah.
And until I read the rest of the story, I thought, boy, journalism has really taken a turn for the worse.
No, it was interesting because it was like on the very top above the fold was the Obama, like the quote from an Obama speech saying, we can do better than this, there's hope. And then it was right below it was. Anyway, that stuff happens in all newspapers all the time. I don't necessarily think that they were locked in the car, but he told them to get in the car and lock all the doors or something like that. And they had to just... I would have sat around, and if he told me to sit around and wait, I would have sat around and waited.
Without a doubt. Maybe he was upset that they told him the wrong time. Maybe the answer here is to wear a watch and have it tuned accurately.
He's a criminal. I don't think he can tell time. What?
Is it the middle of the day?
No, this was at night. They were having a dinner.
Aye.
Anyway.
Be careful, friends.
In other news.
Park in well-lighted areas.
David Geist.
David Geist.
The Geist Cabaret. He's doing a public masterclass. Led by Tony Award-winning composer-lyricist Jason Robert Brown, and that's on, well, it's not for a while, but put it on your calendars if you want, Saturday, January 29th at 2 o'clock at Santa Fe Prep, and they're doing a performance after that. We'll talk about that later at Geist Cabaret, but anyway, Geist Cabaret is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evenings at Pronzo, and on Saturday, the 15th of January, which is tomorrow, Julie Trujillo will join David Geist. And it's show tunes and Broadway and things like that.
Sweet. There's a Museum of Spanish Colonial Art book sale this weekend. I believe it actually starts today. Paperbacks, $2. Hardcovers, $4. Plus art, jewelry, and work by Spanish market artists. 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday at Tesoro's Gift Shop. That's up there on Museum Hill, Camino Viejo. The sale continues until all the books are sold, so I can't give you an end date for it. I would suggest calling 982-2226 to figure out what days and what hours that
until
book sale is on.
Until all the books are sold?
That's right.
So those weird books about politics from Granddad's 1920s, you have to sell those too?
Mm-hmm. I think the books just keep on coming in. So
the downside of doing this with you guys is, and being here every other week, is that it's like being shown a marvelous feast that you're not going to get to eat any of. It's
yeah,
because
you have
temptation.
To leave.
So you come back down here every month?
Every other week.
Every other week? Doesn't that get taxing? I mean, the travel?
If you had to go to a place that wasn't as lovely as Santa Fe, it would probably be a lot more difficult. If I was going between, say, San Francisco and Milwaukee, and I apologize to those from Milwaukee, then it would be in taxing indeed. But yeah, you know, you get to come back to this. This is spectacular.
I think the bill should work for the tourism department. I hear Susanna's going to be doing some hiring there.
I'll toss my name in the hat and see what happens.
Well, it's good to see you.
Thanks, Ross.
What else is going on? Oh, involuntary speech. St. John's College presents a collaborative musical spoken word performance about Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, Jr. 7:30 p.m. at Great Hall, Peterson Student Center on the Wednesday the 19th. That's up there on Camino de Cruz Blanca, near my old stomping grounds, Santa Fe Prep. There's no charge for that. It's the first of three performances, and it continues Saturday and Sunday, the 21st and the 22nd. But you can catch the first one on Wednesday. And I believe if you call 984-6000, you can get more info on that. And that's pretty much the number for everything at St. John's is 984-6000.
Shona Slovakia is having a CD release party tomorrow, January 15th at 7 o'clock at the 2nd Street Brewery. It's right near the railroad tracks on 2nd Street.
I have no idea what that is, but I want to go just because of the name.
I know, Shona Slovakia. Well, Sally Blakemore on accordion, Rusty on, looks like marimba, another guy on drums. Let's see, it actually says here. Gerald Rodriguez on traps, Nick Gadbois, lead singer and guitar, Dave Smith on bass, Sally Blakemore on accordion, marimba, and steel drums.
You know, we got a copy
fun,
of the CD.
Fun, no cover.
We got a copy of the CD at work yesterday, which is unfortunate because we didn't have any time to do any coverage on the CD release. But I've never seen a CD, a local CD like this. It's a pop-up CD. You open it up.
Wow.
And, well, I think Sally makes
books. She's a pop-up book artist.
Yeah.
She's
and so you open up
totally
the CD.
Totally awesome.
I have a feeling she probably glued all those little pop-ups into each one of those CDs by hand. I'm sure she had some help.
I'm going to get one of those CDs.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's absolutely brilliant and a very good musician, too.
Yeah.
And they all are.
Yeah. And that's what? That's on the 15th, right? Saturday?
That's tomorrow.
Sweet.
And there's a couple of things going on at Little Wing. Let's see. Voice workshop on Saturday from 10 to 4. Kathleen Wilder's How to Sing in the Shower. For registration, 505-819-9831.
Is that a book signing?
No, it's a workshop, How to Sing in the Shower.
It really is.
Yeah. And and then at night on Saturday, Otherworld Nights, Night of Ambient Trans Techno Bands. And it's from 7:30 until midnight at Little Wing, which is at the Candyman Center.
Yeah. You will cover the whole musical spectrum if you go to both of those events.
Mm-hmm. Little Wing has got some pretty great stuff. Oh, there's good news. Mike's Music Has Changed is no longer closed.
Oh, good.
They have a new name. I believe it's called the Santa Fe Performance Exchange or New Mexico Performance Exchange. But they have the same website.
Mike, what's the exchange angle?
I'm not really sure. I mean, I know that they've restructured as a nonprofit, so... I mean, the name makes more sense now than it did before.
Mike's Music is nice, has a good alliteration to it, but the music exchange, mm-hmm. that sounds spectacular, you know? That's the social currency of music flowing back.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say, is it sounds official. It sounds very official. But there's some great gigs coming up there. I think the first gig is next week. But you can go to their website. I believe if you still go to mikesmusicexchange.com, or Googleize it. You can get information on the restructuring and the fact that they're reopening. And congratulations to those guys for doing that.
Hey, on Sunday at Little Wing, there's so much stuff going on there. It's quite extraordinary. Lily Massa with Sweet Unraveling and Megafauna, a night of progressive rock and experimental creations. It's on at Sunday at 7 o'clock. The shows there are very inexpensive, and they have a sliding scale. And apparently, the Sweet, S-U-I-T-E, the Sweet Unraveling is Brooklyn-based. And, let's see, and Megafauna is from Austin, psychedelic rock band.
They're so great.
I'm disappointed that it's S-U-I-T-E, Sweet, because when you said Lily Massa and Sweet Unraveling, I was just thinking, Sweet Massa, that sounds delicious.
Sweet, yeah, no. Lily Meza is
Is that how you say it?
She's amazing.
Oh, she's amazing.
She's an amazing guitarist, and she actually spent some time in Albuquerque last year doing a music symposium, and so she is returning with her awesome music. I believe she's Brooklyn based, and she does a lot of work in the community, sort of propping up the music scene there. A lot of the hip jazz oriented stuff there has her fingerprints on it.
You have the best job, Rob.
I do. I really do.
See the coolest things and then write about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have any time to actually see them or go to them. But
how do you write about them?
But you can't write about something that hasn't. I mean, you can't.
Oh, you mean the actual?
Yeah. Hasn't. Yeah.
So Monday.
He writes about how great it will be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's never wrong.
Monday, January 17th, 6 o'clock, Collected Works Bookstore, Jean Siminoff, Saving Myself. It's a Los Angeles memoir about growing up Jewish in Los Angeles in the 1940s.
That sounds neat.
And then Wednesday, the 19th of January, Craig Barnes, Democracy at the Crossroads and the Evolution of Civilization. And much more at Collected Works Bookstore. You can go to their website, collectedworksbookstore.com, I believe.
Dorothy and company are always bringing fabulous stuff to town.
They are indeed.
I have to get this off my chest before I forget. Remember when we were talking on Christmas about, I think it was Christmas or was it New Year's? I can't remember. But it was the Baba Palooza, and we were talking about Robert Burns Day.
Yes.
I know that next week at the Scottish Rite Center in Santa Fe, the big pink church of Palooza, there's going to be a Robert Burns sort of fete, and that's going to include a dinner. Not sure if haggis will be served, but it's a buffet-style dinner. And there's also going to be live music by the Thistle and Drums, and there might be some bagpipe action going on there. And you can pick up Pasatiempo and look for the ad. I don't have the information in front of me because we didn't preview it because it's next week. But it's a Robert Burns celebration is something that should be experienced once by everybody.
And in the words of my grandfather, never miss a fete.
Never miss a fete.
Fete.
Right.
F-E-T-E with the funny little thing over the E.
Yeah. Some people don't put the funny little thing over the E, though.
Right.
And that's just wrong, because that's a what is that? That's just a fete or a feat.
Yeah.
It's not a proper fete.
I know.
You need the teepee.
The teepee. Okay, Tony Janes and Art Katz invite you to Cafe Mambo at El Farol on Canyon Road. And that's where salsa started in Santa Fe. It's every weekend at 9, featuring the best salsa, bachata, merengue, cha-cha, and reggaeton, Latin dance music with DJ Sofrito. And it's, of course, 21 and over. No cover charge, ladies and gentlemen. And Tony James, great guy. He was deathly ill for a long time. Was in the hospital forever. Came out, and he's just terrific and looks very healthy. And DJ Sofrito has a very good CD collection. So.
And friends, when DJ Maria Carlota says, this is salsa not to be missed, you listen.
Yeah, Wednesday night.
You write
night.
It in indelible ink in your calendar, and you go.
It's a way to get over the hump of that, of the middle of the week.
It's there's not much theater going on besides this thing that's happening on Wednesday at St. John's College in town, but in Albuquerque, it's the Tricklock Theater Company. I believe there's it's the 11th Annual Revolutions International Theater Festival. Tricklock Company presents live performances daily through January 30th at various times and venues. If you go to tricklock.com, you can get a schedule and ticket info, or you can call 505-254-8393. You know, it's weird living in Santa Fe. Like when I lived on the West Coast and when I lived in Seattle, an hour away was nothing. It was nothing. And I'm always like surprised when I'm in Santa Fe and I'm like, hey, there's this great thing going on in Albuquerque, and people are like,
it's
so far, so far. They live in El Dorado. It takes them 25 minutes to get home, but on the weekend they won't drive another 25 minutes to.
Just see
soak in something
painfully
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, I know.
But Tricklock has been around as long as it has, consistently doing very edgy, very cool stuff.
Yeah,
is
they're
a
good.
Testament to what they're doing. It's
they're
worth
good.
The hour drive.
Absolutely.
Good theater in New Mexico is something to be driven for.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And supported.
Satchmo Shines On with, is it Jan McDonald or Jan McDonald? Tribute to Louis Armstrong. January 16th, that's, let's see, Sunday, in Los Alamos Fuller Lodge. And Satchmo Shines On will also be happening in Santa Fe on the 23rd at the Center for Spiritual Living. Either way, you can call 983-7646 for more information.
We have great venue names. We have mm-hmm. shows happening at places everywhere from the VFW to the Center for Spiritual Living.
And the Little Wing.
And Little
and
Wing.
Little Wing.
And the Little Wing.
And I just want to say that even though it's not really until next week, that the Big Lebowski is happening at the Lensic a week from today on the big screen.
Really?
But
yes.
You have to see. Mary Charlotte and I were talking before we came on the air. I went and saw Tron Legacy in IMAX 3D in San Francisco. And there's this moment where the Jeff Bridges character says, man, you're really ruining my Zen moment here, man. And I just thought, oh, Lebowski, how I love thee.
Yes.
Does he look weird in those stretchy suits now? Does he look weird?
He's two characters in Tron. He's in a stretchy suit, which, yes, looks weird partly because he's aged 30 years younger.
Right. I mean, does he look like 10 pounds of meat
in
a 5-pound sack? Or
a
what?
Little bit. Okay. But he's also in these sort of long, flowing dude robes in Tron as the older Jeff Bridges. And he just looks fabulous,
so he looks like
man.
Like Lebowski Jedi, sort of?
That is it, man. You nailed it. If I could grow a big, crazy beard, have Zen moments, man, and wear these sort of luminescent robes, that's it. That's all I'm doing for the rest of my
life.
You
should have seen the look on my editor's face yesterday when I confessed to her that I had not seen The Big Lebowski from beginning to end. She's like, oh, The Big Lebowski, blah, blah, blah. I said, I've never seen it. I've seen parts of it. You know, and
yeah, you got to see the whole thing. When I saw the trailer for The Big Lebowski, I thought, I'm never going to watch that movie. It looks like the stupidest thing ever. And it's a work of high art.
It truly is.
It really is.
There are people who live by the dude.
I know.
Absolutely.
The dude abides.
In fact, I was reading something in regard to True Grit, and I guess after The Big Lebowski, legend has it that Jeff Bridges' friends just started calling him The Dude. And now Brewster Cogburn has been played both by The Duke and The Dude.
That's great, man. That's awesome.
Hey, here's another one. January 14th at Milagro, Guitar Shorty, White Buffalo, Ike, and special guests. Silent auction posters. It appears to be a... should have read this before we went on the air. So it appears to be a fundraiser of some kind. This is actually Gordon's concert series, and one of their dear friends needs a heart transplant, so that's a benefit tonight for that at 7 o'clock. And sounds like some terrific bands and a very good cause.
I'm so amazed that Guitar Shorty is just keeping on. That's just so amazing to me.
You know, year after year.
That perseverance. I hope some of that rubs off on me, but...
You know, this is sort of the olfactory version of Rob's intro send by showing us a picture, but we're sitting here in the Santa Fe Banking Company, and the smell of green chili is filling the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, as lovely a city as San Francisco is, you ain't getting that there.
No, you're not.
This is spectacular. It's so green chili that it's misting up the windows.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know a lot of people that work at the slanted door who get a lot of green chili sent to them because they can't. I mean, the people that serve green chili in places like San Francisco and New York City.
You
and
cannot
Seattle.
Abide what they call green chili there. You come back here.
No, people have it FedExed out there.
Mm-hmm. It's
people
worth it.
People live in the East.
I think you could open up a pretty solid black market for
chili trafficking.
Chili. Absolutely.
A green market.
A green market. That's right. That may be my second career.
Santa Fe Public Radio, KSFR, is having another iPad raffle.
That's my favorite radio station. Did you know that?
It is mine,
too. Do I get
too?
To enter, or am I too close?
No, you get to enter. Okay. I don't get to enter, but that's all right. You make a contribution of $40 or more, a tax-deductible contribution, you are... eligible to win an iPad, and they're doing 101 only. They're only selling 101 tickets. So
a $40 iPad is a significant savings on the ticket price.
Right, and you've got basically a 1%, 1 in 100 chance to win, 1 in 101, and that's pretty good odds.
That is good.
For a raffle.
That's much better than winning what it would cost. That's much better than the odds to win what it would cost you to buy an iPad in the lottery.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could buy, theoretically, you could buy half the tickets and still save some money.
Without a doubt.
So.
Well, that's interesting.
Well, I'm not sure what they retail for, but I know it's more than $40.
Yeah. So
it may not be half the
tickets.
You're
going
to have to steal a lot of catalytic converters to sign up for that one.
Ay, ay, ay. Hey, I got a message a while back that there was a very cute, sweet, beautiful dachshund named Minnie who was up for adoption. Mm. I'm not positive whether she still is.
I know Minnie.
Do you know Minnie?
I
is
do
she
know
still
Minnie.
Up for adoption?
I do not know. I know Minnie, and I know her owner who is having to place her. And I'll tell you, that dog is a charmer. An absolute sweetheart.
You know, I already have a black and brown dachshund, although this is a short-haired black and brown dachshund, and I have a long-haired black and brown dachshund.
Well, collect the whole set, Mary
but
Charlotte.
But I could collect the whole set. But anyway, if anybody is interested in this beautiful, I'm looking at the pictures right now, cute sweetheart of a black and brown dachshund named Minnie, write to me at radiocafe@ksfr.org.
You nailed it.
And I will... I've memorized my own email address by now. And I will connect you with the owner, and you can see what happens. But what a cute dog. So, Bill Hutchison, I'm so glad you stayed for Speaking of the Arts.
I'm glad to get to hang out with the two of you. It's been
a
blast.
Cool. It was a nerd fest. It was awesome.
we'll do it again in the future, no doubt. Rob DeWalt is with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's always with us, Speaking of the Arts. It's just great to have you on the air, Rob.
I'm feeling pretty cheery this morning for not being awake, so
yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Probably not being awake helps the cheer.
Yeah.
I woke up today at 7:42. But anyway, it's time to go. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at Santa Fe Radio Cafe, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. Did I say streaming at ksfr.org?
You said podcasting. You said, I don't
know. I don't know. Google it.
Googleize it, as Rob says.
You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. I used to read this by script, but I memorized it, I thought.
Join us Monday for more incoherent rambling.
I overslept today. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. After that, jazz, and thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Hasta la vista, everybody. Have a great weekend. That means you guys.
Oh, you
thanks,
too.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. You too.
And everybody else out there in Radio Land. Hasta la vista.
Goodbye, Santa Fe. It was lovely to see you.
Bye.
See you next week.